Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. And welcome to Adriana's Mystic Connections on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, brought to you on the second Saturday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Adriana's Mystic Connections is hosted by Adriana Lesniak, gifted angel reader, medium, energy healer, and teacher. Adriana invites you to call in for guidance, wonderful, inspiring topics, and counsel from the angels. The second half of the show, she will be offering one-question readings to callers. If you would like a one-question reading, please call in at 646-378-0378. That number again is 646-378-0378. And now I give you your wonderful host, Adriana.
Hello. Hello, everyone. And today I'm so excited because we have two very special guests. And Courtney, are they online? Are they with us
yet? Yes, we do have Normandy. Would you like me to put her on with you?
Yes, but first let me just tell you just a little bit about my friend here, Normandy Ellis. So Normandy is a prolific author, and she is a goddess of Isis. She's also a minister at Camp Chesterfield, where she's officially ordained. And she is one of my dear friends, and I'm so privileged to know her. And I met her at the Great Lakes Retreat, and my dear, she's sort of like a stepmother to me in a way. My dear Rachel couldn't come to the Great Lakes Retreat, which is a yearly retreat that I've talked a lot about on our show, and was so disappointed because she wanted to meet Normandy in person, and Normandy is an expert on Egyptology, the Egyptian gods, and just fascinating to talk to. And she was so disappointed, and I just went and shared this with Normandy, letting her know that she had this wonderful fan who wishes that they could be there. And Normandy said to me, well, why don't we call her, and we can talk to her on the phone? And it was just, you know, it was in the middle of the retreat. It was just so loving and generous of her to offer that. And, of course, we called Rachel right then and there. And Rachel was thrilled. It meant so much to her. It was so generous and so loving, so light-bearing. And I'm pleased and honored to consider Normandy one of my friends and definitely a mentor of mine. And I'm so glad that she's able to join us again. So with that, Courtney, can you bring her on?
Yes, and I just want to let you know Indigo is here too.
Wonderful. Oh, hi, Normandy.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Oh, I am terrific. I have had an odyssey for the last 3 months that I am recovering from that I will share with you. But I am so glad that you're on the show. Thank you. And I understand. Tell us about Indigo, because I don't believe I've met Indigo in person.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, Indigo is a dear friend of mine. She's a colleague that I met through Nikki Scully. Of course, Nikki and I had been doing Egyptian mysteries for years, and I met Indigo, who is from Oregon and lives near Nikki. And so I met her at several retreats, really became enthralled with the work that she was doing. She's really an up-and-coming young priestess, you know, and I'm so happy to meet her. She is an eco-psychologist, having received a degree from Naropa Institute, and she is working with a nonprofit that she has started, which I'll let her tell you about it, but it works with young women in Egypt who are recycling materials and making new things out of what is essentially old trash. And she has taught them a lot because Indigo is also an artist herself. So she's my colleague now, and I'm so happy that she and I are going to be leading a trip to Egypt together. So I'd like to welcome Indigo.
Fun. Hello, Indigo. Welcome.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be here with both of you. Just wow.
Egypt is one of those places that just from early childhood I've been drawn to. And my guides just gave me a question to ask you, which is interesting. They're asking, why is now, right now, this year, the best time to go to Egypt?
Well, let's see. This is Normandy, and I'll take a part of that. But I think Indigo and I have both had similar experiences. I recently came back from Egypt in December, and we were surprised in a way to find that we had much access to the temples because there were fewer people traveling to Egypt right now. And so what that meant is it's a difficult economy for the Egyptians, but that allowed people who were traveling there to really spend more time inside the temples themselves with the hieroglyphic writing and the energies of the place and to really spend time exploring things without bumping into crowds of people. And so it made the experience very rich and very smooth for our group. Indigo, what would you add to that?
Well, I'd say that that right now is a perfect time to go to Egypt because of that, the Egyptian people need us to go to Egypt, that their economy is very much dependent upon the tourists who have been going there for a very long time. And now that tourist sector has dropped significantly given some of the challenges that are happening in the world and specifically around in the Middle East. And so it's the perfect time to go. It's quieter. The people are so welcoming and generous and happy that we are there. And so, you know, not only is it the perfect time to go kind of from the more personal, wow, we get to have the temples to ourselves, but also from the larger picture of being able to help the Egyptian people and to bring us together, really, because understanding comes through connection and connection comes through coming together, right? So by going to Egypt right now, it's a gift. It's so amazing to be standing in the middle of a giant temple and have it to ourselves and to be able to explore, as Mermdi was saying, the hieroglyphs and the iconography that is recorded across the land, and then to understand ourselves in a deeper way so that we can be effective co-creators in our world. So I think now is the perfect time to go to Egypt, and I do hope that any of you listening out there will consider joining us on one of the tours we have coming.
And you have a tour coming up in April?
Yes.
Yes.
How would someone get more information?
The best way to get information, there's two ways to get information. One is to go to the shamanicjourneys.com website, and there's both on the front page a listing to this trip called Astral Egypt, and there's also a link on the top of that page that says events, and if you click on that, you can see what events are going on. So that's one way to see a little bit more on the website, as well as just sending me a direct email, indigo@shamanicjourneys.com, and if I receive an email from you, I will send you off an email with some paperwork, including terms and prices and, you know, the particulars, as well as the registration form.
Now, Normandy was describing these trips to me, and it's so interesting because instead of a land-based trip, this is more of a cruise with destination stops. Correct?
Yeah, that's true. And not to be confused with what people think of as cruises that are like those huge big boats. We have a private boat. It only holds about 16 to 18 people. 18 would be a big crunch. 16 normal size of a trip. And everything that happens on the tour happens on that boat. That becomes our residence. This dahabeya called the Afandina is our residence for the majority of the time that we're there. So you eat on the boat. You have a private chef. He takes care of all kinds of needs. You know, a lot of people who have allergies to certain types of food, he tries to take care of most of those. We have a beautiful crew members. The sailing is exquisite. You wake up in the morning where the boat's tied up at you know, either an island or on the bank, you know, opposite the place where you might visit the next day. And what you see is you wake up and there's a man in his field feeding his donkey and praying as the sun rises, you know, or you see the egrets drifting above the fog on the river, or the water buffalo come down to the edge of the river to drink. It is just like you were back 5,000 years.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And there's nothing in the world as peaceful and as meditative as living on that boat. And so it becomes like a floating altar. We do all of our work on the boat, and then we go to the temple prepared.
It sounds so beautiful, and it sounds like it's a great bonding trip as well, and would be perfect for someone who wanted to experience Egypt and yet didn't want to go out and do a lot of the difficult travel, one of the easier, more gentle trips.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would say gentle. We go hard, and we see a lot, and we do a lot. But yes,
there is a lot of stair climbing.
Yeah, oh, a lot of well, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I just went to Scotland this year with my aunt, and it was just a transformative experience. And I know that she wants to go on a cruise type trip like this because it is so nice. You get to see so much of the country that you wouldn't normally see, and there is that bonding and that relaxation.
Right. And I really think that that's a great part of what happens on this trip. You know, many times, We're lucky to move as a group together, you know, through the temples, and then be given free time to go back to certain places that captured our interest. Moving together as a group, what our guide Emil calls as one, you know, or as one, which is one of the places that we visit, allows us to see things and to go quickly so that we can move unobserved by some of the other people who are there in the temple. And that mm-hmm. allows us to then have a little more time in the places of importance where we might want to go.
Right. And in addition to that, I would add that in addition to many of the temples where we're there in the day during public hours, we also visit three places as private tours where we have about 2 hours to ourselves. And we begin the tour at the Sphinx, where we are granted permission, which isn't usual, to be able to go through the gates and go down between the paws and experience being held by this magnificent Sphinx. Sechet Ankh is the ancient Egyptian name for the Sphinx. Sphinx is actually a Greek name. So we begin the journey this way with 2 hours being embraced by Sechet Ankh. And then we also have a private on Sile Island, which is the home for Isis. And we have another private at the end of the tour with a culminating kind of initiatory experience in the Great Pyramid. And so one of the things that separates this from just, say, going to Egypt and traveling, getting a guide and going and seeing things is that we create a container that holds the group in a very sacred way, and we create ceremony and processes throughout the journey to help us in our own transformation process, whatever that means for each of us, because each of us, you know, have our own transformation to undertake. And then to be able to visit these places in a private way when there's no other public around is quite spectacular and special. And that's not something you can just get by going to Egypt. So it really makes this type of a journey unique and quite extraordinary.
Yeah, and even though you have a lot of free time on the boat, we also integrate into the trip some time to process what we've been doing and where we've been. And that adds to, A, the group cohesion, but it also adds to your experience because it allows you to really think about and hear the way the trip has landed for other people, and sort of you can feel that coming into your own experience of the journey. And so it really is a spiritual sojourn, you know, more than anything else, the trip of a lifetime.
Yes. When I think of Egypt, I think of my aunt, Auntie Betty Sue, who is in spirit. And she absolutely loved Egypt and anything Egypt. And she had past memory lifetimes that she could remember of being in Egypt. And there was her dear friend, Dorothy, had children. And one of Dorothy's sons was traveling in the army and went to Egypt and did a very bad thing you should never do. Is he took a piece of stone from one of the buildings. I'm not sure if it was one of the pyramids or, and it was a pretty good sized stone. It was heavy on lifting, and how he managed to get that back home, I have no idea. But he gave that to my aunt, and my aunt treasured this piece of stone. To say, oh, look, this is from Egypt. And we'd go over, we'd lift it up, and we'd say, heavy. And it was like, sort of like a darker cream color. It wasn't a color that you would think of. It was like a darker cream. It had a tint of orange in it. Mm-hmm. And when she crossed, she never got a chance to go to Egypt herself. She was sort of mired in her weight, and I think that it was always a dream for her to go, but she never felt like she'd be able to go and do the athleticness that would be required. And looking back at that, I think she should have gone and just tried if she, you know, really wanted to. It meant so much to her. And I think life is, you know, we all think we're going to live to 80. We all think we're going to live to 90. We all think there's going to be tomorrow or the next day. And things happen.
Right.
You know, tomorrow is not promised, and next year is not promised. And if this is something that you want to do, if this is in your bucket list, this is the perfect opportunity to do it.
Right.
And it's affordable. You're going to be with a great experienced team. You're going to have an amazing time. And you're going to have the experience of a lifetime that's not going to be mired down with the normal crowds that you would normally have to contend with when going to these sacred sites. So I think that this is something that if you love Egypt, if Egypt is calling you, this is the perfect way to do it, especially if you're a light worker, especially if you're sensitive to energy, because Normandy, and in just talking to you for a few minutes here, Indigo, I could just feel your compassion and your warmth. These are the two to do it with.
We appreciate that, Adriana. Yeah.
You know, your story about your aunt reminds me so much of my brother's story. He probably has more Egyptian-like objects in his home than I do, even. And he's loved Egypt for years and years. And he and his wife, you know, kept saying, well, we're going to go. And, you know, but first on the bucket list was Australia. And then there was something else. And then what happened? She was 51 years old, had a massive stroke, and was paralyzed on her left side. She does walk now with a cane, but she'll never get to Egypt, you know. And they almost went, and then they didn't, you know. And so I think about that a lot when I'm there. I think about how he would have loved it, and she would have loved it. And I'm just sorry they couldn't come.
Yeah. We all do that. We all have those times where we think, well, I could do this. This would be fun, and I could do this. And then I think the just the minutia of the day gets in the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so important that we carve out goals for ourselves for the year and then work towards those goals, because otherwise time just slowly but quickly flies by. It seems slow, but then you turn around and look and went, holy cow, what happened to January? February has gone.
And it's 2016. My goodness.
Right. Right. I want to talk about something a little different, if you don't mind. I want to talk about creation. And I'm being led by spirit to talk about this. I want to talk about creation. So they're saying in order to create a book, you have to write things down. You don't have to write the book. You just have to write things down. Get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Get it down. And with any goal, it's like the first step. The first step. So, you know, whatever that goal is. And it doesn't have to be going to Egypt, and it doesn't have to be writing a book. But get that goal and then take that first step. For instance, going to Egypt would be contacting Indigo and contacting Normandy. And please feel free if you'd like to contact me as well. And you can always reach me at mysticconnections.com or my email mysticconnect@aol.com. And I'll be glad to forward your queries on as well. I'm just so excited to have you both with me on the show, and I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Adriana. Yeah.
Would you like to stay on for the second part of the show where we talk to listeners?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay, absolutely wonderful.
Can I make a comment about the creation piece?
Yes, because my spirit wanted us to talk about it. Yes.
Right. So what I want to add into that is, you know, I deeply believe that we are all divine and that we are all co-creators on this planet, whether we're mindful of that co-creation or whether we're not mindful of that. Many of us are not mindful of it.
Yeah.
We're just going along our day and our, you know, our programming and our genetic coding and whatever that is. But when we begin to recognize that we are actively co-creating our lives from one day to the next, it changes everything. And one of the things that we do on this journey that's so profound is that we get in touch with that co-creative aspect of who we are, so that as we move through the temples, as we move through our experience and our group process and our time on the boat and the fun and laughing and shopping or serious, deep, you know, visionary work, that we are coming into deeper and deeper alignment with our moment, with our day, with the very fact that we are breathing and existing in this dynamic co-creative world. And as we touch base with that in ourselves, our choices change and our directions change and our sacred purpose becomes more clear. So I just, that creative element is so essential in what we do, from seeing the immense creativity that was, that it took to create all these monuments and statues and buildings of epic grandeur. And to us sitting on the boat and remembering what hieroglyphs jumped out at us in the day and beginning to write about that and to take that creative process of the group and weaving it into the creative process of our own individual reflection. And so, you know, moving through the land, writing about the land, and then what we take from that and how it affects us for the rest of our days. You know, it really, I see people shift in Egypt in a way, in a positive way. Even those who weren't going there to shift, suddenly they find themselves even more of who they are on the other side of the journey. So if anybody out there listening is interested in that kind of an experience, that's what we offer.
I think we're all interested in that type of experience.
Yes.
You know, while you were talking, I just saw this visualization of some type of rice paper or wax paper or translucent paper, and then someone taking an etching
mm-hmm.
of the hieroglyphs and then taking
right.
that back.
We are going to be able to learn some hieroglyphs while we're there. Yeah, and I think that it's important to be able to copy down and look at what we see and let it come in. You know, that brings to mind the whole thing about how through creation things work on multiple levels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hieroglyphs work on multiple levels. They're sound, but they're also symbol and image, and they also contain a divine story inside each glyph. And so we're going to learn about some of that as we travel on the trip. I'm just going to do one caveat, which is not to do any rubbings in Egypt because a lot of the hieroglyphs, because they're thousands of years old, are very fragile.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
so we can't, I don't encourage people to touch the walls. One time I can say when I was very early traveling, I misstepped and nearly fell down some slick stairs. And so I put my hands out on a wall, which happened to have a bas-relief ankh on it. And when I took my hands away, the ankh disappeared. Okay, and that really was a horrifying moment because I was so into the glyphs and the glyphs vanished because I had touched it. So I just want to say that one thing. When you go into Egypt, you are going into a past that very quickly is becoming a memory, you know, and so it's really important that we recreate it as we go.
You know, interesting that you say that, because for me, you just educated me here, because for me it's like, oh, I could take a rubbing of an actual hieroglyph, and you know, now I know, oh my gosh, I would never do that because it could take away from future generations. And thank you. You know, Normandy, I'm just gonna this is completely out of the blue and for no reason whatsoever, but for some reason I saw, I think it was some type of larger cat, like a bobcat, not like a lioness or something, but like a bobcat type creature when you were talking about that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a an element of vast, I'm not sure, but I just felt, I saw that animal come in when you were describing that.
Well, thank you. You know, I would assume it could be that Bast energy. I'm going to accept that as being who came, because in that energy, there, in that catness of hers, there's a lot of forgiveness for the moment that created that.
Ah, yeah. It just came in very clearly, you know.
Right.
And I love the cat energy, of course. So.
Yeah.
Well, she also helps us remember our steps so that we take careful cat-like steps as we move around the temple.
That's right.
You know, the gods and the goddesses of Egypt are so interesting and are so woven into our culture. We don't even know how much. And we could have a whole discussion, a whole different show about how much the Catholic Church and Catholicism draws on the Egyptian gods. And even the word amen is connected with ancient Egypt. And
that's right.
Let's not digress.
Remembering the roots is all. Remembering the roots.
Yeah, the ancient Hedra, there's just so much. But Courtney, I think we're ready for guests.
Awesome. Well, first we have Julia, and Julia is calling from Florida. Welcome to the show, Julia.
Hi.
Hello, Julia. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. You're coming in crystal clear.
Wonderful.
And what's your question today?
I'm going to receive guidance around finding my own place. I went through a divorce, and I'm temporarily at my mother's. And I'm, you know, trying to prepare for the next steps.
Okay. You know, I feel some uncomfortableness with you and your mom. Maybe it's just because of the situation. But, yeah, I know you're grateful for being there. Normandy, what are you picking up for a new place for Julia?
What I'm perceiving is that there needs to be some moments of acceptance of the empty spot that this has created in your life, which is going to allow you to spend some time in contemplation. Take that opportunity not to fill it right away, but to let light fill it, to really call in the light energy to show you the next thing that you need to do. You have time, and you have time to contemplate your decisions in a careful manner. Recognize that our time on this plane is not the same as the divine time, and so just allow yourself to go through the process right now. Things are shifting for you, and things will shift. But they shift when you pull that light energy in and just accept, okay, I can't see anything right now that's ahead of me, but I feel this light coming in. And following that light is going to pull you through to the next thing.
And I'm feeling also that part of this journey has to do with your mom, and that this is that you're blessed to have her. So she's blessed to have you. And that's part of this for you to have some time with her too. And I think she needs you. I think there's a need for her with you. Indigo, what are you picking up?
Well,
Well, so I just went and grabbed my deck of the Anubis Oracle, which is a deck available for sale at HathorMirror.com, and it has all the Egyptian gods and goddesses as well as some composite cards. And so I drew a card while the two of you were just speaking, and I pulled the card number 4, which is Khnum. And depicted on this card is, if you can imagine, you can see a grassy bank that goes to a river, the Nile, and behind that the hills of the desert, the sands of the desert. And sitting on the near part of the bank in front of the river is Khnum, who is a ram-headed god. He's a creator god. He's a craftsman, and his story is that he creates out of the mud. He takes the mud of the earth and he throws on his potter wheel the form of the human and creates us into being. And he's an organizing principle. So he's, you know, when we create something, we're taking some disorder and creating order out of it. Even if the creation is chaotic, there's still that order that comes together through that creation process. And so what he's saying to me for you right now is for you just to trust in this creation process, that you have been kind of, you've become the mud again. And now Khnum is beginning to take you and reform you into your new body, and that body is your life. What is your new life going to look like? And so just spend time with him. Call him in. Imagine the spiraling horns of the ram as an evolving process, as a opportunity to kind of shift your matrix at the very core of who you are, so that when he's finished with you on the potter wheel and sticks you into his kiln to cook, that you are ready for what is next. So that's what Khnum says, and he's a good ally for you in this process.
4 is interesting, too, because 4 is foundation.
Right, right.
Go ahead, Julia.
I was just going to ask her, could you spell the name of that, please? I wasn't quite understanding it.
Yeah, Khnum. It's K-H-N-U-M, Khnum. And you can look him up. You'll find information on the web about him.
Okay.
Yeah, and Julia, you know, congratulations. Congratulations. And I know that there's grief with divorce, but there's also rebirth. So congratulations. And by the way, a great way to christen your rebirth would be to go on a fabulous cruise.
There you go.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you so much. Courtney,
thank you very much,
what do we have next?
Next up we have Jay, and Jay's calling from Canada. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Jay, my buddy Jay. Thank you for calling in.
You're very welcome, Adriana. Thanks so much for being part of the show. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Indigo and Normandy, Jay is a frequent caller to this show and also my other weekly show on my Mystic Connections radio network, and just has a lot of knowledge and just brings a great deal in. So, Jay, what do you think of this Egyptian trip? Doesn't it sound wonderful?
It sounds pretty cool. Let me need to go be reminiscing about a past life or something like that for myself, probably. But, yeah, I think it would be really, really cool to go there, just to be in an ambience of space and
right.
See what you get there, right? So.
Absolutely. What's your question today?
My question is about the ancient knowledge of the Egyptians. I just wondered, is it being revealed somewhere, or is it somewhere hidden? And I just wondered, my second question is that from the experience of people that you've traveled in groups, have they had any past life experiences when they were walking through some of the ancient sculptures and ancient temples there, or, you know, even the pyramids there? I just wondered what your thoughts about that.
What great questions.
Well, I'll take the last question first, which is, do people have experiences there? Yes, they do. Many people do. The You know, it's like the sands of Egypt are crystalline structure because they used to be under the water. They're, you know, they're under the sea, and then they the water receded and the sand is still there. And it's like, what do we send out into space? We send crystals out into space for our satellite communication. And so crystalline structure holds memory, holds vibration, holds conversation. And so I think a lot of people who move into Egypt, because our bodies have a crystalline water structure in them, resonate. There's something in that past that resonates right. with them. And so I think that many, many people tap into ancient lifetimes. We could say that, you know, there's 3,000, 5,000, perhaps 10,000 years of history there. Most of us have some memory of a past life in that particular cradle of civilization, if you will. So I thought I would sort of take that on first. And there are also, in addition to that, there are also remnants because of the process in which the dead were mummified and inserted into the land as if they were seed memories themselves. There's a lot of light body experiences where people, you know, meet various beings that are moving across the landscape, either in their own underworld halls or as memories.
That's beautiful.
Can you ask your first question again?
Sure. Just one about the ancient wisdoms. Are they being hidden, or do you know of anything like
right.
that? Or are they somewhere, I don't know, stored somewhere? Or just wonder what you think about that.
Well, I would say that along the lines of what Normandy was just saying, that crystalline structure of the sands of and the stone and the limestone that kind of absorbs time. Right, and experience. I think that the ancient wisdom is recorded for everyone to see right in plain sight with all the hieroglyphs. And the hieroglyphs, is, again, as Normandy mentioned earlier, can be looked at simply as a letter or as a phrase, as a story. The layers of meaning change depending on what lenses you're looking at them through. And so the wisdom is all there. It's just a matter of accessing it and understanding it. And then I'd say that the ancient wisdom is equally within each of us. And when we go to Egypt, there's something that happens, and I'm not quite sure how to describe this, but it's almost as if being in the land and on the ground and in the home place of the Netheru unlocks that ancient wisdom within us so that as we move through that land, the depth of understanding increase, our ability to commune with divinity within ourselves as well as all around us increases. And so, you know, the ancient mysteries have been kind of veiled throughout time, and I think today is the time when those ancient mysteries are being revealed more and more, whether it's an Egyptian mystery or whether it's the Tibetan mysteries or whether it's the Christian mysteries or whether it's, you know, there's mysteries all over the planet that have a similar root in the ancient knowledges and the archaic wisdoms that have been known for ages. And so going to Egypt, and you don't have to go to Egypt to unlock that, but there's something that happens when you're on the ground and that kind of crystalline molecular structure in your body starts resonating with the land, with the people, with the temples and monuments. So that wisdom is within you. It's recorded around you. And then there's fragments of knowing that we all carry, that the Egyptian people carry, that our Egyptologists carry, and so on. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's,
you know, something that occurred to me in hearing that question, one thing about Egypt that has always struck me, and I'm a female, and so I'm going to look at things through a feminine viewpoint through the feminine rose-colored glasses, if you will, is that Egypt was one of the few governments worshiping entities that made the female as important as the male. And from what we understand, from what we've uncovered, the feminine was first, was the first god, the feminine, the goddess energy. You know, they found the ancient pregnant goddess type idols that people would carry with them. And then the maternal entity gave way to the paternal, and the male took over. And so many goddesses were disfigured and changed into gods, or their temples, et cetera, were broken down and destroyed in favor of the male. And one of the places that did not happen is Egypt. And so many pharaohs that we see also had female counterparts. And like, for instance, Nefertiti, of course, and everyone knows of Cleopatra. And so this was a place where the feminine has been sacred for a long time, and not changed, not passed down. And just for that, Egypt is amazing. Just for that. And Jay, you're obviously male, of course, and I get that this maybe is more of a feminine view, but I know you understand the sacredness of the feminine, too, and understand that we need both of those things. And I really appreciate your questions.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Appreciate your energy. How's the yoga going? How is your yoga journey going?
Oh, it's actually, I've completed my first module, which was the earth element, and I calculated how many hours I did, at 86 hours of meditation and yoga. So I'm just in my third day of just holiday. Well, I'm actually, this is my first day of learning again. I had 3 days off, but it's been just pretty good. So now I'm into the water element, which is about liberating anger. So this would be an interesting one for myself.
You know, water is so mystical and important. And in Egypt, water is a life giver, of course, the Nile.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Jay, for calling in. Appreciate your energy and support always.
Thanks so much for asking. Thanks so much for the guests. Thank you.
Okay, Melody, I think we have time for one more. Maybe if we squeeze two more.
No problem. Up next, we have Laura, and Laura is calling from New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
Hi.
What is your question today?
I would like to know if you see any big changes coming up for me in the next couple months.
Do you see yourself on an Egyptian cruise?
Laura, what's your birthday? Just
October
month and a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, a natural leader.
Yeah, I was going to say you've been in a rather creative year, a more self-determining year than you have been. I would say this is a time in your life because you're in a 1 year now. Until your birthday comes up again later this year. But when you're in a 1 year now, it really is about creating and recreating your life and beginning a new 9-year cycle. So if you're thinking about implementing new things, this is the time to do it. And you may find yourself in more leadership capacities than you have been in the past.
And, you know, you're going to be going through some changes because you are going to have to cast some things off. Some things are ending. And you can either choose to end them or they will end themselves, but that's going to happen. It's better for you to be in the driver's seat and end them.
Yeah. So I pulled a card. I shuffled while you were talking, and I pulled the card number 11, which is bust. And she showed up twice now in this hour. And it's B-A-S-T is how you spell her name. And she is a cat. And she's, you know, the card itself says holy longing, desire, instinct, sensuality. And what my relationship with Boss is one where she reminds me about self-care. You know, the cat knows when it needs to be pet. It knows when it doesn't want to be pet, right? It knows when it needs to lay in the sunny spot on the ground, and it knows when it needs to go outside and take care of business. And so the cat is very attuned to itself. And so as you move into this year and what's coming for you and whatever changes are on the horizon, keep your anchor in your center and in that place, your heart center, the ground, whatever it is that gives you your foundation and your solidity. Because if you start from that place, then whatever is going to transpire for you this year will come easily and with grace. If you're off center, if you're not on your ground, then it's harder to see what is coming because you're not taking the same kind of care. So the Boss reminds you to take care of yourself and to step carefully and mindfully with the soft kitty paws and just allow it to come to you.
I feel some grief around you. So there may be a loss or there may be something that you've let go of recently. And so I feel like go ahead.
Friendship. I let go of a certain friend, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. But you know what? Congratulations. And it's okay. And it's okay to backslide a little bit, too. But you did that. You needed to be healthy, you know? You needed to move forward. This is part of your moving forward process.
Yeah, it is. You have to do a reassessment every once in a while and... Yeah, so that's what happened.
I'm sorry, but you know what? You've made the right decision here. And you know that old saying, some people are in our life for a season and some people are in our life for a reason. You know, bless that friendship because it really taught you and it helped you redefine yourself and your goals, what you want and what you don't want.
That's true. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much,
Courtney,
for reading, everybody.
Oh, you're welcome. Courtney, we had time for one more. We can squeeze one more in. And I have no idea why I called you Melody, other than that you're a melody to my soul.
We do have time for one more. I'd like to welcome Evelyn from California. Welcome to the show, Evelyn.
Hello. Evelyn, hello, welcome. And you know what? There is a mother energy around you. So this is mother, someone like a mother, or a close grandmother to you?
Close grandmother.
Okay. And she's stepping in, and for whatever reason, she is putting a tiara on your head. So she thinks of you as a princess or a queen, or you've had a crowning achievement.
Probably the first one.
No. Okay. And what is your question today?
Thank you. I was in love with a man that yesterday decided to make that easy feeling.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
I was pretty much in love with a man that yesterday, I thought it was going to work out between us until yesterday he confided in me that he has feelings for someone else. It hurt, but I appreciated his honesty. So now I'm back to square one, and I really, really thought it was going to be him, but obviously it's not. And now I'm thinking, I just want to know if there's going to be an opportunity to find love this year. And I'm 33 years old, I want to be in a stable, loving relationship. because I'm ready to take the next step of marriage and kids.
I feel like you are not happy with yourself, with your body, with your energy, with yourself. So I do feel like you need some self-love and self-care. This may be the perfect time to just treat yourself and to recognize how beautiful you are, and that that grandmother energy is just saying, be gentle with yourself, because it's almost like something has been stolen from you.
That makes sense. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Indigo?
I pulled the card Cosmic Influences. It's number 3. It's a composite card. And the picture has the god Khepra, which is a scarab beetle with the wings wrapped around the planet. Khepra is a guardian, and you can think of our atmosphere as Khepra in a way, as it's the atmosphere where the wings of the dung beetle protecting its precious, you know, children, basically. So that's in the sky. And then down on the left of the card is Thoth. And he is a very important god. He records everything for us. He does many things, but he records it. You know, he's recording the Akashic records of everything that was, is, and will be. So in
the
his
very
book,
first
he's recorded,
magician.
Right. And he's recorded what happened yesterday with this man, and he also has already recorded what will happen in the future, right? Because that has already happened on a certain time-space continuum. And then across from him on the right side of the card is the goddess Ma'at. And I have a particular affinity to Ma'at. She is truth, balance. She is natural order. She is harmony. She is natural law. And the ancient Egyptians, everybody was born into the world knowing they were here to serve Ma'at. The gods and goddesses of Egypt knew that they served Ma'at. They served the truth. They served the cosmic order of the universe, and they can't operate outside of that. And so she's about being honest with yourself, mm-hmm. honest with your life, honest with where you're going, and trusting that you're being protected, and that Thoth has already recorded it all. So mm-hmm. although we have free will and we have choice, at the same token, you know, time is an interesting one. Yes, it's a straight line as we can see it and experience it, but it's also a spiral or a circle. And so this card to me tells me that the gods and goddesses are watching over you. Khepra has his wings around you, protecting you, guarding you, and just trust. Mm-hmm. Trust in your process. Allow yourself to sink into the loss and the grief of this loss yesterday, but then also know that you can move forward, and that what is coming will be there for you when you get there.
And Normandy, really quick.
Okay, I pulled 3 Medjuneter hieroglyphic cards, and I received Nephthys, which is the sister of Isis, and this reaffirms what Adriana said. You have to come to a point where you love yourself, where you see yourself as valuable, as your experience as valuable. I also pulled the card, the Eye of Horus, which is healing and learning to go ahead, and your heart will always be an open book. But go ahead and go through the process. What did I learn from this loss that I carry with me into my next, you know, meeting? Because you will fall in love. You will meet other people. And this event will change you. And it needs to change you in ways that you are willing to be changed, open, honest with yourself, but also accepting yourself. This is who I am, and this is my journey, and I value it. Okay?
Beautiful.
So much love to you.
Beautiful. We only have 1 minute left. So I want to spend 10 seconds with both of you just giving your contact information. And then if we could, I'm being told that there's a prayer or a song that you can share us with to see us out of this the show, the episode.
Okay, this is Normandy, my contact information. You can get information on all of the workshops that I'm doing, and I'm doing a lot around the country, maybe in your area, and also about the trip. It's normandyellis.com, N-O-R-M-A-N-D-I-Ellis.com. And you can contact me also through the email on that webpage.
And I've done her workshops. They're amazing. They're transformative. If you're looking to open your inner eye, or if you're just looking to expand and grow, this is my mentor. And Indigo?
Indigo is my name. My last name is Ronlove, spelled R-O-N-L-O-V, as in Victor or Virtue or Victory or Violet. And I'm going to give a couple of websites for people to check out. One I said earlier in the show, and that's for all things Egypt trip related, and specifically the trip coming up here in April with Normandy and I, and that's shamanicjourneys.com. Reach me at indigo@shamanicjourneys.com. My personal website is sacredwitness.us. sacredwitness.us. And then I also invite you all to visit the webpage for the foundation where I'm doing service work with the women in Egypt. I'm teaching them to remember how important handwork is, and especially when we're using reclaimed and recycled materials such as plastic bags to turn into yarn to create items of worth and value. So amazing micro enterprise for these women. And you can see more about that at Zahra, ZahraHandworks.org. Thank you.
Thank you. And you know, we're actually past the time. And but thank you both for joining so much. This has been so beautiful. And thank you. Thank you for the amazing work that you do, that you both of you are such light workers. And it's a pleasure and an honor to have you both on my show.
Thank you so
Adriana.
Much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Okay, Courtney?